to a rather interesting story of a visitor from away. Hamish Holcomb from Goondiwindi, Queensland, is on a mission to ensure he does not become bored in retirement. He describes himself as a working grey nomad. Hamish signed up to work as a farm sitter, which led him to a property near Tibooburra back in 2021. And he's just recently finished publishing a book about his time in the Corner Country. Since then, he has been off travelling in other areas of Australia, but was back in the Far West earlier this week to launch his new book about the characters and beauty of Tibooburra. He stopped via the ABC Broken Hill building and had a chat with producer Lily McCure about his adventures.
So, born and bred in Goondiwindi, Queensland, and so I've been there for 74 and a half years, but I have moved around and travelled a lot. So, yeah, but that's my base and that's where I'm back to now.
So you mentioned moving around and travelling a fair bit. What's that involved over time?
Basically, we had a change of life in about 10 years ago, change of circumstances. And so I had, and we sort of retired to a very small place. But what I didn't realise was how bored I was getting and how dangerous it was to my health, actually. Because we just really didn't have enough to do. So I decided to become a working grey nomad. And I sort of booked into, I went to a site called Farm Sitters. But it originally started when a chap just rang me up and he said, what are you doing? I said, not much. And then he said, do you like isolation? I said, I suppose. He said, real isolation. Any rate, so one thing led to another, and real isolation ended up at a property called Salisbury Downs between Wanaring and Tibooburra. And so my job there was to look after the waters and transition for the new owner who was there, who was a Sydney-based owner, and my job was to keep things rocking over summer and do a transition until more permanent arrangements could be made.
Before we get into that, I guess, caretaking role, how would you describe a working grey nomad?
Well, there are two types of grey nomads. There's the ones that's going to sit, be happy to have $50 a week in their power and to sit with their caravan, but I could see no point in that. I might as well be home doing that. And the other one is actually working and being useful, which is what I really need to do because, you know, everyone needs to feel useful. And so, yeah, I do, they're not the same hours as a normal working week. It's just maybe I might do 5 hours one day or 10 hours the next day, just whatever's required. Mostly it's autonomous and I just have to do what I think needs to be done because, in all honesty, I probably know more than the people who own the place because I've had more experience. And, you know, these fellas were from Sydney and, yeah, and they needed someone there to just explain a few basics, yeah. I was selling my expertise and they were offering me something to do.
You mentioned like every day is pretty different, but what were the main sort of duties that you were undertaking?
Well, on that particular station, I would, at any given time, there were probably about 40 or 50 watering points and stock everywhere. So my job was to, the first job was to understand the watering system and then, and the second one, more importantly, was to make sure it was all working because in the hot summer there, like one day out could be totally disastrous. And so I had to find my way, own way around and do that. I was also there as a presence on the property for people coming through, contractors coming in. My job was to coordinate them and be with them. Like trucks would come in, I'd unload them or I'd load trucks up. Like, you know, I'd do around the homestead and stuff like that.
So you're really almost like a jackaroo, a station hand as well.
I didn't know what I was, but we describe ourselves with a fellow person and she said you're actually on a mature gap year.
What would you describe a mature gap year to be?
Well, a mature gap year is that you're in between what you used to do and then you get to a point when you can probably no longer do anything. But so I'm in this gap year that I'm sitting there and I'm just feeling useful again and I'm travelling. I've got itchy feet. I can't sit down. I mean, you can only have so many cups of tea or read the newspaper or, you know, it's just I think it's downhill run then. So, and I found I'm not the only one. There's quite a few people that are doing this stuff. So a lot of grain owners are just travelling with their caravans and travelling, but I'm not. I go and work and
I mean, while you were doing this in Tibooburra, as well as, you know, over the last couple of years, have you met a lot of people that have been undertaking caretaking positions on stations and doing a similar thing to what you did?
Huge.
Yeah.
Huge number. So we largely arrive with most of our own gear and we know what we're doing. So, yes, no, there's a lot of people doing. A lot of people are sort of moving out of their retirement home and then actually doing exactly the same thing.
How important do you think that is? You mentioned that, you don't want to be sitting at home with your cups of tea every day in retirement. How important was that experience for you?
Oh, absolutely essential. In my instance, in the last 10 years, I've buried my parents. I've buried one of our sons. In the last 2 years, I've buried one of my mates from Ag College. I have no time to waste to be sitting down doing nothing. And we have to do it.
Indeed. Author and working grey nomad, Hamish Holcomb, speaking there with Lily McCure. And up next, we'll have part two of that interview and his time in Tibooburra.
Embark on adventures through ABC iView.
Now is the time.
Like with Miriam Margolyes.
I'm on a quest.
Welcome to Broken Hill, Miriam.
Ningaloo.
It's one of the last intact places on the planet.
Tony Armstrong's Extraordinary Things.
Holy Hector.
We should have picked a smaller country.
Stuff the British stole.
It's been a treasury. It's been a temple. Is it also a crime scene?
And so many more. Always free, always adventurous on ABC iView.
It's 20 minutes past nine. You're listening to ABC Broken Hill with Patrick Reinke on the morning's program. Now, you just heard a little bit about the story of Hamish Holcomb, who came from Goondiwindi in Queensland to Tibooburra in New South Wales. I think he's an interesting individual, isn't he? Was it a working gap year? Getting out and about, not being bored in retirement. A great story, and so much so that when he sat down with our producer and rural reporter, Lily McCure, to talk about the book he's written about his time in Corner Country and up in Tibooburra, well, there was just too much to talk about. So we had to make two parts of the interview. Here's part two of his chat.
Well, I did a year in 2021. And then as I was leaving, then they put a manager on, which is why, there was always going to be a transition. So then they put a manager on. And then as I was leaving, I get a phone call. The next neighbouring place rang me up and said, "Where are you going?" And I said, "Well, I'm going home." And they said, "Well, can you turn around and come? We've just had a bad accident for one of our fellows, and you can. I'm just wondering if you can help." And I said, "Yeah, okay." So I turned around and came back, and this bloke had busted his hand pretty badly on a trough. And so my job was to. And he said, "Look, we've got him to the hospital, right, and everything's really good, but the trouble is, it's hot. It was summertime." And he said, there's a trough out there and it's just spilling water absolutely everywhere and we can't afford to do that. Would you be able to fix it up?" And I said, "Yep, okay, where is it?" And as they talk, they talk a little bit differently out there. "Well, if you go out near that sand hill where there's three trees and you'll find a track there to go to the left, a very well-defined track." Right, there's 50 million sand hills there. The spot was actually, it was 130 kilometres away, and it took me 3 hours to find it, and but it took me 10 minutes to fix the leak, which was pouring water everywhere. So then I came back, and then while our mate was in hospital, they said, "Oh, would you look after things?" So I did that, and I came, this was the second place, and so I came back and I did two more stints on that property, yeah.
Just going back, it's pretty amazing at how the people adapt to the landscapes out here and what they're used to in comparison to, say, what you might be used to over further east in New South Wales.
Yes. Mm. Well, the term is inside country and outside country.
Mm.
And inside country, it's just, as I keep on saying to my travelling companions, a day and a half, but it's a different world, completely different world. The politics is different, the people are different, the ingenuity is different, and the honesty is different. Yeah, there's no bull dust.
What sort of characters did you come across in that time?
Oh, dear. They're just so brutally honest and brutally straight with you. I guess they either like you or they don't. They will do anything for you, but they have their peculiarities. There's absolutely no doubt about that. And there's a few gunner people out there, they're going to do this and going to do that. But at the end of the day, well, at the end of 2 years, when I came back to do this book launch, everyone was just such a warm welcome. It's like a big family coming back to. Just so many stories. I put them in my book, as many as I can. I tried to capture anyone that, who would agree to be captured, but Lot didn't want their photographs taken. They were just, they said, oh, I don't think so. So I didn't put them in. But yeah, so basically they're, well, this the bloke that I replaced, he's a muso, an A-grade cricketer, and he owned a pub, and then he suddenly decided that he wanted to come out west and he was going to, you know, just and do this sort of stuff. This is in a very broad run, but essentially everyone's running from something or someone, unless they're born and bred there. And there's a lot of people have come out there and they're running from something. So I guess I was running from a change of life. You get what you see.
Were you expecting to meet these sort of characters out there?
No, it came as quite an eye-opener, yes.
So I guess your experience caretaking on this station and the people that you met led to this book that you've written?
Correct. The book is called Outback and Out There. And Outback is Outback. And Out There is for a section that kind of grabs my left field sort of imagination. And so I've just put some stuff together in it with my views on regen agriculture and nature and how vulnerable it is and what we should be doing. And so there's a little bit on that as well. I've dabbled in a few of the pubs, and I've also taken the opportunity to pick up on my family and just put some stuff in there.
Certainly sounds like a great read. Definitely Outback and definitely Out There. Author and